What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, do you like to gamble? I know a lot of you do. So if you are into sports gambling, make sure you hit up my official website, katietrop.net. Click on the tab that says Sports Talk with Trop. Right at the top of that page, you will see a banner that says Sports Talk with Trop Preferred Sports Books. Click on that and you can sign up with multiple sports books that I am affiliated with, and you can gamble your life away. Speaking of gambling, let's talk about baseball. This is a sport you can gamble on if you want to. We did have quite the week in baseball, a lot of offense this week too. So let's go ahead and start off with Monday's game. We had between the Cleveland Guardians and the Baltimore Orioles. That's what you get when you change your team name. People are going to still call you your old team name. But anyways, the Guardians did get the big win over the Orioles 3-2. And Jose Ramirez, he actually hit a home run in the sixth inning, which basically just broke a tie in the sixth inning, and the Guardians were able to just maintain it and keep it moving. And, you know, the Guardians are one of the biggest surprise teams this year. I keep talking about how their starting pitching is very weak, but they still are there. They do have a solid bullpen, of course, one of the best closers in the league with Class A. And then they're able to score all this offense a lot lately with Ramirez and Kwan and Naylor. They are just really getting it done, and they got it done over a really good Baltimore Orioles team. Then also on Monday night, the Cincinnati Reds got a win over the Pittsburgh Pirates 11-5, and Ellie De La Cruz, he continues to be the big thing to cheer for with the Reds. I mean, even though the Reds are a pretty awful team, you go and see a Cincinnati Reds game, you're going to be entertained at least by what Ellie De La Cruz does. And in this game, he hit a home run and had three RBI and has just been making some of the most phenomenal plays just basically since he hit the league. And he still is continuing that, and helped the Reds get a big win over the Pirates. Then on Tuesday, we had a pretty tense matchup between the San Diego Padres and the Washington Nationals. The Padres got the win 9-7, but in the first inning, benchers were cleared because basically Jurickson Profar was up to bat, and Ruiz is the catcher for the Nationals. And actually, the night before, Profar had a big hit, and he had a walk-off home run, and he celebrated, and you know that pisses some of these guys off. Oh my God, you celebrated! Well, maybe you should not let him hit a home run if you don't want him to celebrate. But basically, they pissed them off the night before. Who knows what really happened, but basically they were starting to get into it. Manny Machado from the Padres kind of steps in between the two of them. The bench is cleared. But after that, that pretty much opened up the waves for the San Diego Padres, and they just put on a slugfest. Profar actually ended up getting hit with a pitch. And then Schilt, the manager for the Padres, he ended up getting ejected after that. And then after that happened, basically Manny Machado and Jesse Winker, they had a couple home runs. And then Jurickson Profar had the last laugh because he ended up hitting a grand slam in this one and basically shutting the door on the Nationals. And like I said, the Padres got the win in that one 9-7. And then that same night on Tuesday, the Los Angeles Dodgers got a win over the Chicago White Sox 4-3. But that wasn't really the headline. The headline is Shohei Ohtani. He's only played with the Dodgers for this season. He hasn't even played a full season with them, and he's already breaking records with the Dodgers. He had a leadoff home run, which extended his RBI streak to 9 straight games. And then on Wednesday, he broke that record and is now the Dodgers leader, because on Wednesday he hit another leadoff home run and extended his RBI streak to 10 straight games, which is now a Dodgers record. And I mean, switching Ohtani over to the leadoff spot, ever since Mookie Betts was injured, they switched Ohtani over to leadoff. And this guy, he has just been hitting bombs. I don't know how you pitch to Ohtani, to Jose Ramirez, and to Aaron Judge right now, because those guys are just not missing at all. And Ohtani has just been on. I mean, he starts the game right off with a home run, and it's like that really could take the wind out of your sails. Yeah, it's only one run, but still, that usually is a big deal. The Dodgers did get the win 4-0, and that wasn't the only thing to discuss in this game. Gavin Stone, the starting pitcher, rookie starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, had a complete game shutout, only allowed 4 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts, and just had the game of his life against the Chicago White Sox on Wednesday. And then also on Wednesday, the Baltimore Orioles, they took the game over the Cleveland Guardians, this time around 4-2. What was really needed to be discussed, though, from this game is Gunnar Henderson. The guy is just having a phenomenal year. He got on base for his 33rd game in a row by hitting a home run in this win over the Guardians. And then on Thursday, yeah, are you sick of hearing about the Baltimore Orioles? Well, guess what? They smashed the defending champion Texas Rangers 11-2. They had 4 home runs in this game, and then starting pitcher Corbin Burnes just dominated. The guy was just mowing motherfuckers down last night, and it was just straight-up domination by the Baltimore Orioles, who are just, they've had an up-and-down couple of weeks here. You know, they started off the week down in the series to the Guardians because the Guardians were pretty much owning them, but then they got that last game on Wednesday, and then now here they are, boom, just knocking out the Rangers. And, you know, they are one of the best teams in the league for a reason. Moving on to basketball, because guess what? We had the draft over the last couple of days, Wednesday and Thursday. And, I mean, nothing crazy happened. So let's just go ahead and go over the first round. And then, of course, the one pick in the second round that everybody's losing their mind over. The least surprising pick of the draft, I would say. But let's go ahead and start it off with the Hawks had the number one overall draft pick. They ended up picking, and I apologize to anybody whose name I completely butcher in this. It's just going to happen because that's just the way it is. Don't have such a hard name, motherfuckers. Anyways, the Atlanta Hawks had the number one overall pick. They ended up picking Zachary Risache. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I mean, he is from France, so it might have some Frenchy kind of last name, Risache, like that. But anyways, he was the number one overall pick for the Hawks. Number two pick was the Washington Wizards. They drafted Alex Saar out of Perth. Number three was the Houston Rockets. They drafted Reed Shepard out of Kentucky. Number four, the San Antonio Spurs drafted Stephon Castle out of UConn. Number five, the Pistons drafted Ron Holland II out of the G League. Number six, almost called them the New Orleans Hornets. Yet another team that, motherfucker, you move or you change your team name, I'm going to have issues. And so the Charlotte Hornets at number six drafted, to Jane Salon of, he must be foreign. I'm not going to even guess where he came from. So, yeah, that's who the Hornets drafted. Then at number seven, the Portland Trailblazers drafted Donovan Clingan from UConn. Number eight, the San Antonio Spurs drafted Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky and then ended up trading him to the Timberwolves. Then at number nine, the Memphis Grizzlies drafted Zach Edey out of Purdue. Number 10, the Utah Jazz drafted Cody Williams out of Colorado. Number 11, the Chicago Bulls drafted Matas Bouzilis out of the G League. Number 12, the Oklahoma City Thunder drafted Nikola Topic. Obviously, he is foreign, and I have no idea where he comes from, so we're not going to even pronounce that. Then at number 13, the Sacramento Kings drafted Devin Carter out of Providence. Number 14, the Portland Trailblazers drafted Bub Carrington out of Pittsburgh and then traded him to the Wizards. Number 15, the Miami Heat drafted Khalil Ware out of Indiana. Number 16, the Philadelphia 76ers drafted Jared McCain out of Duke. Number 17, the Lakers drafted Dalton Necht out of Tennessee. Then at number 18, the Orlando Magic drafted Tristan Da Silva out of Colorado. And number 19, the Toronto Raptors drafted Jacoby Walter out of Baylor. Number 20, the Cleveland Cavaliers drafted Jalen Tyson out of Cal. Number 21, the New Orleans Pelicans drafted Yves Missi out of Baylor. At number 22, the Phoenix Suns drafted Deron Holmes II out of Dayton and then traded him to the Nuggets. Then at number 23, the Milwaukee Bucks drafted A.J. Johnson. Don't know where he's from because it's foreign. At least that's the way it looks. I don't know. And then at number 24, the New York Knicks drafted Kyshawn George out of Miami. and traded him to the Wizards. Then at number 25, the New York Knicks drafted Pacome Dadier, another foreigner that I can't tell you where he's from. Then at number 26, the Washington Wizards drafted Dylan Jones out of Weber State. He was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then at number 27, the Minnesota Timberwolves drafted Terrence Shannon Jr. out of Illinois. Then at number 28, the Denver Nuggets drafted Ryan Dunn out of Virginia and traded him to the Phoenix Suns. Then at number 29, the Utah Jazz drafted Isaiah Collier out of USC. And then to round out the first round, at number 30, the Boston Celtics drafted Baylor Shireman out of Creighton. Now, of course, the big news is at number 55, which is the fourth or third to last pick in the draft, Bronny James was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. As I said, this was the least surprising draft pick of the day because, of course, LeBron plays for the Lakers. We all knew they were going to draft him or just pick him up as an undrafted free agent. But, I mean, with how far he fell in the draft, you knew they were going to pick him up there. Now, as with all the draft picks, unlike Bronny, I'm not putting anything on his shoulders. Just because he's LeBron's kid does not mean he's going to be good, does not mean he's going to be shitty. All I do know is that at USC, he was terrible. So I'm not excited about this in any way, shape, or form. But hey, who knows? He could actually turn out to be a pretty good player because you never know what's going to happen with these guys who are drafted. I mean, hell, the first overall pick could turn out to be a bust, and Bronny could turn out to be an excellent player. Who the hell knows? But I'm not going to drop my panties and get all fucking excited about it like some of you motherfuckers are, like this is the greatest thing that ever happened to the Lakers. It's like, no, I could give two shits and a fuck, basically, that we drafted Bronny because he's the second round pick, number one. It's not like he's some game-changing player coming to play. But one thing I do know is it does suck for him that he is LeBron's kid because there are people who are obviously going to put basically LeBron's legacy on him when it's like, I'm sorry, y'all, this is he just because he's got LeBron's genes don't mean he is LeBron James. I wish him the best. I hope he actually does do well because A, he plays for the Lakers, and B, I mean, I just overall want guys to have good careers. And then, of course, there are people who are upset over nepotism, and it's like, this is not the first time we've had nepotism in sports. Ever heard of Dale Earnhardt Jr., the Mannings? Those are just a couple to throw out there. I mean, it's just, that's just how it is. And they just because they are in the league because they're related to somebody doesn't mean they're going to have a good legacy. Doesn't mean anything. They're going to have to put in the work, basically. So Bronny is going to have to put in the work. But like I said, I'm not really excited about it because a dude who averaged 3 points per game in his first year at college, not real exciting for me. Everybody's talking about his defense and how that's going to be the game changer. And it's like, okay. Y'all keep sucking that LeBron dick. You keep doing that. I'm just going to go ahead and let Bronny be Bronny, and we'll see where that goes. Anyways, moving on to a different sport. Let's talk about UFC 303, which was supposed to be the return of Conor McGregor, but girlfriend broke his toe, and that got postponed yet again. We'll see if that happens, but as I said, probably not. But anyways, we're actually going to have a rematch from earlier, from in November, as a matter of fact. This is actually going to be the second rematch between Alex Pereira, bringing in his 10-2 record, versus Jiří Procházka. I always fuck up this guy's last name. I usually just call him Jiří. But he's a bad motherfucker, if you do not know. He is 34-1. They are going to be battling out for Pereira's light heavyweight title. I will say, man, Pereira has hit the UFC like no other, really. I mean, he's beat legit dudes. So I mean, he's had some crazy knockouts, and just his skill set is something else. So I really like what I've seen from him. And actually, the first time these guys faced off back in November, Pereira had a second round technical knockout over Jiří, and it was pretty much just all domination by Pereira for the most part. And that really is, since Pereira, all 10 of Pereira's wins have for the most part been straight up domination. So he's been kicking ass, but Jiří is just a bad motherfucker. And I gotta say, I'm kind of leaning towards Jiří in this one. I feel like Pereira, while he is a killer, And I really have enjoyed watching what he's done over the last couple of years since he hit the UFC. I feel like at some point, he's going to get knocked out and something's going to happen. And I feel like this is a good time for that to happen. You know, Yuri's probably pissed off because he lost the last time. So, you know, he's looking for blood this time around. And I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going with Yuri in this one. I like Pereira, and the guy is just a beast when he's in the octagon. But for some reason, I just feel like Yuri's going to walk out with the upset in this one. And I am going to go with Yuri's going to knock out Pereira this time around. I'm going to go with the second round knockout, just like the last time. Except Pereira had the knockout and not Yuri. But I'm going to go with Yuri in this matchup. All right, so since we were talking NBA draft, I'm going to go ahead and theme this week's list around the NBA draft. And, you know, since I was talking about, actually, when I first brought up the draft the last episode, I was kind of talking about how there wasn't really any major standout players. But then we also were talking about Bronny and who the hell knows what's going to happen with his career. And so instead of, like, highlighting some of the standout number one overall picks, I decided I'm going to go with today's list is going to be the top five most underrated NBA draft picks. And basically the criteria for this one is you were either drafted like far behind, like in the second round or one of these guys was drafted kind of high, but not in the lottery area. But also kind of when you were drafted, it was like, did we know you were going to be good? Or you were just a dude who was on nobody's radar and all of a sudden you are a legend in the game. And there were a few guys on here where I was like, damn, you are a fucking killer. Oh, by the way, this list is basically limited to the last 30 years. That was a lot of fucking research for me to do to go back even further than like the 2000s. Yeah, I think I went back about to the early 2000s for sure, because there is somebody in here who was drafted in 2001. But I pretty much kept it to the last 30 years. So this is not going to include guys from like the 1980s, the 1970s, or anything like that. It's just definitely going to be guys within the last 30-ish years. So let's go ahead and begin with number five. And the reason why he's number five is because he wasn't drafted really, really low, but he was drafted outside of the lottery picks, which is a big deal. But also, I do remember this draft, and I do remember hearing his name, because, of course, it's a very unique name. You still hear of this name because he is one of the best players in the NBA still today. But I remember when he was in the draft, it was more, is this guy going to be good? Maybe he's going to be good. Let's see. And that would be Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was the 15th overall pick in the 2013 draft. Now, like I said, he didn't fall that far behind. 15 is not terrible. But I can't remember who was drafted ahead of him, but there were a few guys drafted ahead of him where you're like, really? Like Kelly Olynyk, I believe, was one of them. And, you know, Kelly Olynyk wasn't the worst basketball player of all time, but he ain't nowhere near what Giannis has done in the league. But I digress. So Giannis, I do remember they talked about him, right? Like I said, he's got a very unique name, so you're going to remember that name. Of course, he was drafted out of Greece, so that was kind of one of the reasons why we didn't really know much about him. He was foreign. We only could see the highlights. We don't know how much he dominated, and we also don't know how much his game is going to translate over here. Well, it's translated very well, and this bit has been an excellent pick for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm sure the 14 teams that drafted before them probably regret not drafting Giannis, especially if they had, I can't remember who was number one that year, but you know, if you had one of the top picks, you're probably kicking yourself in the ass right now because you don't have Giannis on your team. He is an NBA champion. He is a two-time MVP. He's a six-time first team All-Pro, and he also has won a Defensive Player of the Year. So Giannis is number five on my top five most underrated NBA draft picks. Then at number four on my top five most underrated NBA draft picks, Jimmy Butler was drafted 30th overall in the 2011 draft. So that's right at the end of the first round. He was drafted out of Marquette. Now, I don't think a lot of people when he was drafted were like, yo, Jimmy Butler's going to take over the league. And that's basically what Jimmy Butler has did. I mean, there's a reason why we call him Playoff Jimmy, and it's because he always shows up. Now, he has yet to win a championship. He has made it to the NBA Finals, but he has yet to win a championship. He was drafted by the Chicago Bulls, and he has traveled around You know, he's played with the Bulls, he's played with the Timberwolves, he's played with the Sixers, and now he's with the Miami Heat. But regardless, any team he goes to, he plays well. If he makes the playoffs, you know this dude is coming to play, and you better watch out for him because he's a beast. And I don't think when he was drafted, I mean, he fell all the way to 30. You're not thinking a 30th overall pick is going to be that much of a game changer, and Jimmy Butler is one of the game changers in the league today. Then at number three on my top five most underrated NBA draft picks, Tony Parker. He was drafted 28th overall in the 2001 draft by the San Antonio Spurs. Now, he came out of Paris, France. He spent a lot of time in the European League over there. And when Tony Parker was drafted, I don't think a lot of us were thinking, oh, this guy's going to be part of one of the greatest dynasties that this league has ever seen. And he most certainly was. Now, obviously, they had Tim Duncan. They have Coach Popovich. They also had Manu Ginobili. They had a bunch of other pieces in there as well. But Tony Parker was one of the most consistent players from day one. I had a good view of this guy's career. I watched him from start to finish. And I got to say, when he was drafted, nobody was like, Tony Parker's taking over the league. Well, Tony Parker was a killer for this San Antonio Spurs team. Like I said, Tim Duncan, it was all centered around him. But man, Parker played a key role in a lot of their championships because he is a four-time champion with the San Antonio Spurs. And he was a huge piece of that legacy and that dynasty. And I don't think the Spurs really would have been a dynasty without Tony Parker, or at least a capable point guard like him. And Tony Parker was much more than a capable point guard. He was a hands down at that time in his era, one of the best point guards in the league. Then at number two on my top five most underrated NBA draft picks, Draymond Green. He was picked 35th overall in the 2012 draft. That is in the second round out of Michigan State. And I think it's safe to say that Draymond Green is definitely one of the greatest players of this era, one of the greatest defenders, and the hugest piece of this Golden State Warriors dynasty that he was a part of. Obviously, Steph Curry, the shining star, the beacon of the team. But Draymond Green was the motherfucker who would get in people's faces. He would get them riled up. And he plays defense. And also, the one of the finals that they did lose, Draymond getting suspended played a huge role as to why they weren't able to complete the mission against the Cleveland Cavaliers in that particular series. But Draymond Green, you know, he's only a four-time champion. He's been Defensive Player of the Year, four-time first-team All-Defense. And he's even led the league in steals as well. So the guy is a baller. But I don't think when Draymond Green was drafted, anybody was saying at the time, this guy is going to take the league by storm. I feel like he was more of a role player that people thought was just going to, you know, come in and maybe do a little something here and there. No, this guy's been a huge piece of this Golden State Warriors team still to this day. And you know, let's see what else we got from Draymond, but he definitely is one of the most underrated draft picks of all time. And then at number one on my top five most underrated NBA draft picks, and this was a no-brainer. I knew this was going to be number one before I started the list, and his name is Nikola Jokic. Drafted 41st in the 2014 NBA draft. 41st. That is practically where Bronny was drafted. Bronny James was drafted at 55. And Nikola Jokic was drafted at 41st. Nobody expected this motherfucker out of Serbia to take over the league like he has. And I mean, he is doing it at a high rate. To me, Nikola Jokic reminds me a lot of Tim Duncan, where he is a silent but deadly motherfucker. And Nikola has been doing it. And he's been getting better every year. He is an NBA champion, of course, a three-time league MVP. Could possibly be a four-time. I kind of feel like he was screwed over a couple years ago, but whatever. And then he's also a four-time first-team All-Pro. And obviously, he has more time to continue to build on his legacy as well. But nobody, and I mean nobody, thought Nikola Jokic was going to be one of the best players in the league. I mean, hands down. Nikola Jokic, to me, is the best player in the league. Just overall gameplay, what he means to his team, wins, just everything about Nikola Jokic, to me, today, he is the best player in the league. Now, if you're putting him up against other players and legacies, of course, you're going to, you know, I'm going to put LeBron over Nikola Jokic's career at this point. But still, he's right up there with LeBron. He's one of the best players in the game today. And he still has a shot at winning more MVPs, at winning more championships, and just growing and building his legacy right along with Giannis, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler. Really, the only retired player on this one is Tony Parker, who had an excellent career. But those are five guys where you look at like, damn, nobody was expecting them to do shit, and all five of them have had spectacular careers. And like I said, with Nikola Jokic, if you thought this guy was going to do what he's done in the league, shout out to you, because you were the one. I bet you Jokic is even shocked at what he's doing in the league today. So that is the top five most underrated NBA draft picks. So enjoy the weekend of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.